are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. Each week, the three of us are going to provide a technical analysis of the metals charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and obviously the news that helps move and predict our markets. This program is going to be on YouTube each week too. So if you want to see the visual charts and images that correspond to our discussion, the best place to go is our website, which is McIlvaney.com/news. McIlvaney is McIlvaney.com/news. And today we're going to get into the weekly charts as always, some prognostications for you on where prices may go, the inflation numbers hot off the press this week, the Federal Reserve rate cuts, gold's role as money, geopolitics. It's a lot. So without further ado, let's start with a recap of the week, Miles.
Thanks, Tori. We'll kick it off with gold here this week, as it is Golden Rule Radio. Gold is technically down about 0.5% since our recording last Wednesday. We do record Wednesday to Wednesday. So since last Wednesday, we're down about 0.5%. We did break $3,400 at one point this week, but currently sitting just below it at $3,380. Glancing over at silver, silver is actually up 1.5%. While gold's coming down, silver's inching its way back up, and that is definitely helping our ratio situation between gold and silver. So silver currently sitting at $38.53 at the moment. Platinum is dead almost to the penny even this past week, currently sitting at $1,341. And the sister metal, the platinum, is down a little bit, helping that platinum-palladium ratio out. Palladium down about 1.5% and currently sitting at 1,140. Over on the paper markets, the S&P putting in another new high this week, up about 0.5% at 6,468, although that is following a pretty significant down day on Friday and a strong rebound this past week. And finally, everything, as always, predicated on the U.S. dollar, which continues down about 0.5%, currently sitting at 97.8.
All right. Well, on the gold side, we actually saw in the futures market, you know, we track spot price, and specifically as a firm, we use the NYMEX spot price for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. But the futures market has a lot to say, and it's oftentimes telling a story as well. And we did hit an all-time high in the futures market last week. In fact, it went north of $3,500 due to the tariff fears. And here's a great image for us to put up here where we can talk about this spike that occurred only in the futures market, not in the spot price. So the spot price kind of continued to chop sideways, but a lot of speculation and leverage in the futures market drove it up over 3,500. That was on Thursday afternoon because the speculation was gold bullion is going to be subject to tariffs. And then by Friday afternoon, the White House denied that gold bullion would be subject to tariffs. And all of those gains got erased plus some. And it actually ended up going even lower than the spot price in the futures market. So ton of volatility there that's kind of behind the scenes. And again, it only shows part of the picture. But another fascinating image really has to do with this summer triangle, if you will, that Miles, you've pointed out, a sideways pennant or bull flag formation or what have you. And if we look at what has transpired this summer, that pattern is tightening down into a tighter wedge. But yet in the futures market, because of that price action, it actually broke out. So you could kind of see what we think is likely to happen with the spot price, but has so far only happened in the futures market. So really a fun action week here where, again, the sentiment is pretty bullish.
Yeah, thus far, what you'd call a quote-unquote false breakout so far in the futures market, although not necessarily. Sometimes you've got to test the waters before you dive in head first. And the fact that the futures market, we did put in that higher top, the spot price of gold did not, but the spot price of gold is holding very nicely within its trading wedge here this past summer. The futures market breaking out to a new high, coming back down, and it has turned back up since Tuesday this week. Now, it's not back up much. It could just be making a little bounce on gold's way back down to $20 an ounce. But just in case that's not true, it could be turning back up. And if we get a confirmed breakout in the futures market, the spot price is obviously just going to go with it. So,
yeah. And Chris Vermillion is one of the people that we track. He's thinking that gold is going to climb, spot gold, to over 4,100 based on his Fibonacci extensions. What do you think about that?
No, I don't disagree. In fact, last week, I think I ate my shoe a little bit when we recorded because I've been really hoping for a little bit of a pullback here in most of the metals, especially gold and silver, with silver basically just on a tear over the last couple months. And looking at some of the potential resistance levels in gold that, frankly, we just haven't come anywhere close to. Even in the short term right here, you're really looking at gold, I mean, just at the least to break below that compressing trend line. And frankly, we just saw the futures market do it on the upside. So the odds of the spot price breaking down while the futures market is breaking up is pretty slim.
Unlikely. Yeah.
So you get through that first trend line. Well, then what do you got to do? You got to get past the previous low. And then you've got to get past the previous low before that. And you're not even touching some reasonable retracement levels, say like looking at this whole bull market move, which started back in the beginning of 2024, so about 16, 18 months ago. I mean, just to get down to the most shallow correction levels here at, say, the 382 Fibonacci level, you're looking gold sub 3,000. So unless you look at charts regularly, it's hard to really understand just how strong this bull market in gold is and how resistant it is to show any kind of weakness. And with a futures market potential breakout looming on the horizon, I don't know if I'm ready for second phase of bull market quite yet.
Yeah, because if gold goes to 4,100, as the technical traders say, Christopher Mullen, I mean, that's a 17.5% climb. If we see a 17 to 20% climb this fall, as he's predicting,
on top of a 25% gain or plus minus so far this year,
that's right.
That's exactly a huge year for gold.
And unfortunately, that's not speculation.
No.
It's just negative news about our U.S. dollar, about the strength of the currency, fiat currencies in general. The panic and fear in the central bank and sovereign entity type of environments where they're trying to accumulate the physical metal. This isn't a spot price driven by retail demand of coins and bars.
No.
And unfortunately, it's going to turn into that at some point. And maybe this fall is what drives it.
Well, it's turned into that in Europe and in Asia where demand is just going gangbusters
up. You're right.
50, 90, 250% in some countries like Germany. And yet demand here in America is down 37%. So Americans are looking at the gold market, well, not much happening.
Yeah. Or I missed the wave.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to keep paddling out to sea. No, that's just not true. And as gold goes, you know, there's sort of a flow where you've got the weakening in the fiat currencies, which leads to central bank gold buying. They need an alternative to any currency, much less a U.S. dollar. So the central bank buying drives up the gold price. So the spot price is climbing. Then the mining shares, those miners start to climb. And as the miners
and
go,
that happened, I mean, they had a huge week last week.
Just the GDX is up over 45% this year with another huge week up. What, 2.5% in 1 week?
Yeah.
Well, that ends up driving the physical market eventually follows that, right? So to see the futures market spike, to see the miners and the mining shares value spike, well, what follows all that?
Yep.
Silver. This program will be on YouTube each week as well. So you can see the visual charts and images. And the best place to go actually for that is our website, which is mcalvaney.com/news. That's mcalvaney.com/news. And let's transition over to silver here because as bullishness permeates the gold market, it also permeates the silver market.
Tori, you put up a chart going back to the 1960s, and then it shows the big rally in 79-80, followed by a huge cup formation where gold or silver hit 50 back in 1979, 1980, again 2010, 2011 timeframe, and now you've got a second handle that is emerging. We are looking at a nice breakout for silver. I'm thinking $50. We'll break above 42, 43 sometime this fall on our way to 50, but I don't really see 50 as being that big of a barrier. I see it going there and maybe backing off a little.
Well, if you ignore the time frame, if you ignore the 70-year time frame at the bottom of that chart, and you just pretend this chart, those candles are like one-day candles instead of like one-year candles. What's funny about
that,
it?
Well, but that minimizes Rob's experience here. He's been doing this through this entire chart.
I know.
I'm excited.
That chart is your entire life, your entire career, Rob. Right there. There it is. Sum your entire career up into one cup with one handle.
Yep.
No, but what's fun to me about charting is the fractal aspect of it. Like the patterns that you see play out in a 10-minute time frame can also happen in a 10-hour, 10-day, or 10-year time frame. You see the same type of patterns play out no matter what, regardless of the time frame. So when I look at something like this type of compression upwards, we like that. I can't remember there's a term for it, but we love to put names to things. It's part of our species, and we see faces and everything. So I guess in this case, we see cups and handles and everything.
No, I'm seeing a really big smile.
There you go.
Fair. So that's kind of trailing off to the side because it's so old, it's starting to get a little bit of a stroke off to the left side of it, I think. So what I'm seeing here is something that we see pretty consistently. And even in the short term, like this gold compression or certainly the futures market price up, what happens? We hit the top, we had a correction back down. Then we hit the top again. But the correction back down was like half of what the previous one is. Mm-hmm. The third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, you know, once you start hitting that multiple times, you just run out of gas. Like eventually whatever's holding that 50 number in place eventually just runs out of steam. You keep running the tailback right over top of the middle linebacker, eventually is going to get through. And that's exactly what you see happen over and over again in charting. So it doesn't really matter the time frame here, whether it took 50 years to happen or 50 minutes, like the futures market did this past week. You'll see the same thing play out. So I really like 50 from a resistance level. It's interesting to me that if you just take how silver has risen just over the last 6 months, and you look at what, say, a high at around 50 would look like, and you start to measure where some of the resistance levels would have been, like some Fibonacci retracement levels would be, based on where we started this spring and ending at around 50, boy, it lines up really nicely with some price action at some certain levels. So I think the market is already setting us up to expect to see a little bit of resistance around 50 again, but I don't think we're going to see the same type of correction that we did back, obviously, in the 1980s when it happened initially. And I don't even think it's going to be anything like what we saw in 2012, the last time it hit 50. I think 50 is going to become a distant memory for silver rather quickly once we get there.
Well, and if you adjust for inflation, that 50 really doesn't mean nearly what it meant back then. Right?
Yeah. No.
So look at this image here where if we adjust for the depreciation of the dollar since that period of time, right now we're at $38.50 as we record. If we adjust for $50 now, that's $71 in 2011 when we hit 50. Adjusted for inflation, that would be like us going to $71 silver just to match the quote-unquote $50 silver in 2011. To match the $50 silver in 1980, that's like silver going to $200 today. And so that's what we're talking about. But if gold goes up to 17.5% to 20%, to the 4,100.
It's going
to
drag silver with it.
If silver follows, silver's going to outperform like it has, right? It's up over 31% so far this year compared to gold's 27. So it's outperforming. But that means silver's going up 30% just to get to 50 from where we are right now. So gold 20, silver 30, that's going to tighten the ratio a little bit more. That would be in line with what we see in the silver bull markets, just like in 2011. And that's another technical analysis that's encouraging, as well as your pullback, Miles. So what about fundamentally? I'll tell you some of the fundamental reasons I'm bullish on silver, like the macro underlying. One is just the deficit. So far, the 2025 deficit in terms of supply versus demand industrially is 117 million ounces. That's down slightly because all of 2024, we had a deficit of 148 million ounces of silver in terms of what was needed versus what was created or mined above ground. Secondly, you have the gold-silver ratio. It's now below 88, but it's essentially right at 88 to 1. That screams buy silver. The 40-year average is closer to 64 to 1. We're really north of normal, of just average. That tells me silver is going to outperform gold. Third, it's no longer just a monetary metal. The expanding industrial demand for silver is huge. So it's second only to oil, guys, in total applications, because now it's used for solar panels, electronics, defense systems, electric vehicles.
AI.
I mean, all of that is exploding now. And so the pressure's more. And then gold leading, silver following. That's another, again, like we mentioned earlier, demand. And then obviously mining is restrictive. It's not like, you know, only 25% of the mined silver comes from silver-specific mines.
Well, and you've got a lot of naked shorts in the silver market as well.
Great point.
I mean, the percentage of paper silver versus actual silver. And Miles, if you could throw up that pie chart. At some point, these guys have to start covering their shorts. And you have a short covering rally in silver, it gets interesting real quick.
Yeah. If for every dollar increase in the price of silver right now, swap dealers that are short silver, they're betting that it's going down. Every time it goes up $1, those swap dealers are facing $262 million in losses. So the higher the silver price goes, the longer it stays high, the more it washes out those short positions.
And they have to cover.
They have to cover. That's where your pie chart is huge, and suddenly you've got this massive short position.
Yeah, he who sells what isn't his and buys it back or goes to prison. That's the first rule of securities law that I learned as I was getting my brokerage license.
Wow. It doesn't paint a good picture.
No.
But yet, again, all of these are reasons that we're very bullish on silver. So what about platinum and palladium, Miles, before we move on to some other fundamentals?
Sure. I mean, platinum and palladium are kind of opposing stories. Platinum has clearly turned bullish at this point. It's the thing we've all been waiting for a long time. Platinum hurt a lot of our feelings for a very long time as it sat right around $900 to $1,000 for most of my lifetime, it feels like. You know, the breakout move in platinum has been fantastic, pushing us up to around 1500. So platinum has done two, I would argue, key things here, personally. The move up to 1500 was significant in that we're looking at the previous kind of last high we put in back in, 2014, before platinum really kind of crashed back down. So basically, all of the bear market that started in 2014, we've erased at this point. So I feel like we had the same conversation a couple weeks ago regarding silver. The idea where silver finally got to a price when it got into that mid-30 range where we've erased the whole bear market prior to the previous bull market.
Gosh, it reminds me of gold too in 2016 when we bottomed at 1,080. Yeah, interesting.
So we've erased sort of where the bear market started. So in platinum, the bear market started in 2014. It went down for a couple of years, finally bottomed out, sat bottomed out for almost 10 years.
Long time.
We really bottomed in like the end of 2015, and we had $100, $200 ups and downs, but we were $900 in 2015, and we were $900 in April of 2025. So you're talking almost 10 years minus a couple of months that platinum did nothing. Now all of a sudden it's playing catch up and it's hitting that pricing up around 1500 or so, which was that break point. So that's step one. We've had a significant move up that matters within the platinum charts and gotten to a level that matters. Now, I'd said there were two things. The second thing platinum has done is here just this past week or so, I think it was on August 6th or 7th, we came back down, we hit its short-term 382 fib, and we've bounced that pretty hard. So that's down around 1300. We've bounced 1300. We're currently sitting at 1350. So platinum is starting to take kind of the preliminary steps, stair steps up of a bull market. I'm looking at platinum, honestly, you could see some bumping around somewhere in the 1600 to 1700 range. But for me, realistically, I think our next major resistance in platinum is all the way up at 1850. I think platinum has a way to go here. It may take 6 or 9 months to get there, but I don't think we're going to see anything but a stair step move up until we get to around that level. And then we'll have to readjust how it reacts from there.
Well, then I'm even more encouraged by this little breather. You know, it's not a real deep breath, but it's a little bit of a breather, and that's healthy for a bull market. You don't want to see it go parabolic straight up. You want to see the stair step effect.
Well, and I mentioned there's a difference between platinum and palladium. Here's what's interesting. Palladium, I would argue, is still technically bearish. Palladium continues to go down. Now, we did take our first sort of arguable step because we put in a higher high in palladium this summer, higher than the highs going back to 2024. But first little pullback down here, it's at about a 50% retracement down thus far. You know, if we see palladium push up over 1400, then I think you can argue that palladium has also turned bullish. But I tend to err on the side of trend. So until proven otherwise, platinum is bullish. Palladium is probably bullish, but technically bearish at the moment. So as the white metals are alternative assets to gold, there's some news and some other alternative assets. So Rob, what do you got for the crypto market this week?
Well, the big question that popped up earlier this week is what would happen to the price of cryptos if quantum computers started producing cryptos much faster than now? Google claims that its Sycamore quantum computer can process the same information that would take the world's fastest supercomputer, Frontier, more than 47 years to complete in just a little over 6 seconds.
That's technological advancement.
That's crazy.
But think about what that does to flood the crypto market. I mean, suddenly you just dump.
I mean, it'd be like the world being hit with a 100,000-ton gold meteorite. What would happen to the price of gold?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, the rarity just went way down and the supply just shot up.
Just vanished. And if they start cranking out Bitcoin in seconds rather than months, that market could be easily flooded. So
that's incredible.
And I'm cheering my clients who've done very well with Bitcoin. I'm happy for them.
Me too.
My kids are in Ethereum, and I'm happy for them. But that's very chilling.
But the real money is gold.
Yeah.
Like we know that, right?
And
this week's inflation numbers came out too high, but better than expected. So CPI came out at 2.7%. 2.8% is what the market thought. Everybody thought, okay, inflation's going back up. And here's the issue. Like, if you're screaming for rate cuts and inflation's climbing, like Hedgeye, who we follow, feels like July is the low point, that for the next 4 months, inflation's going to continue to increase.
And they're not the only ones.
Yeah. They're not the only ones. So if you cut rates, then that's counterproductive to the inflationary fire.
And the Fed has never cut rates with the stock market at all-time highs. That just would exacerbate what would turn into an even greater bubble than it is now.
Well, not only that, I mean, it's only cut rates one time when core CPI was greater than 3%.
Well, that was before the 24 election.
Yeah. Well, core CPI is up 3.1%, which is even worse than just CPI.
Yeah.
And it's up 0.32% for the month. And again, the Fed's never cut rates in that environment where that's happened. Well, only again, one time. So as Hedgeye says, this is where things get tricky, because if acceleration in inflation continues and they're having this supposed rate cut in September, because of the negative job report, that came out. They're thinking, okay, you've got to cut rates. You got to stimulate the labor market. Well, they're walking this tightrope of, do we stimulate the jobs or do we fight inflation? And oftentimes you can't do both at the same time. And so if there's a 90% chance now of a September rate cut, that's not good. It's good for gold. It's weak for the dollar. Mm-hmm. It means gold goes up. It feeds into our theory that we could go to 4,100 this fall by the end of September. Guys, that's just not that long. You know, you're talking 6-8 weeks where we could see this parabolic move, especially if they cut rates. It'll be very inflationary and probably the wrong thing to do, as much as we would like to see it happen.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. Miles, where can our listeners find us?
Sure. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website. You can always find us at mcalvaney.com. That's mcalvaney.com. We're also on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to chat with Rob, Tori, myself, or any of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.